This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Bob Edwards is away. I'm John Idsty. Two landmark Supreme Court decisions are being reviewed. The High Court agreed yesterday to revisit its 1978 decision allowing affirmative action in college admissions. And it agreed to re-examine its 1986 decision upholding state laws that make it a crime to engage in private consensual homosexual conduct. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1978, the Supreme Court ruled by a 5-4 vote that state universities may consider race in college admission, as long as race is one of many factors in the admissions process. The late Justice Lewis Powell cast the decisive fifth vote and wrote that race could be considered as what he called a plus factor, just as other factors are, factors such as whether the applicant's parents are alumni, whether the applicant is a talented athlete or musician, and even factors such as whether the applicant comes from an urban or rural high school or a public or private one. Diversity, he said, is one of the hallmarks of a first-class education, benefiting students of all backgrounds. In the decade that followed, colleges and universities across the country adopted affirmative action programs based on diversity. But by the early 90s, those programs were under attack. Conservative groups began challenging them in court, and often they won. Still, the U.S. Supreme Court declined for years to take on the issue again. Until yesterday, when the justices agreed to hear challenges to the University of Michigan's affirmative action program at the undergraduate level and at the law school. While the challenges are widely seen as a threat to affirmative action in state schools alone, in fact, they are a threat to affirmative action programs at private colleges and universities, too. Almost all institutions of higher learning get federal money, and if the Supreme Court were to rule affirmative action at public universities unconstitutional, the same rationale would apply to those private institutions accepting public money. The president of the University of Michigan, Mary Sue Coleman, says that if Michigan loses this case, more is at stake, too, than just who gets into college and who doesn't.
It will affect much more than admissions policies. It will affect financial aid. It will affect special mentoring programs. We think it will turn back the clock.
But Kurt Levy, the legal director of the group challenging the Michigan program, says that his clients, white students who did not get into the university, were the victims of reverse discrimination. He says that they had higher grades and board scores than some of the minorities who did get in. And he says it is long past time to take a new look at the question.
The court is going to tell us once and for all whether race can be a factor, whether racial preferences are okay. And no matter what they say, I think it's going to shape admissions policies nationwide for probably decades to come.
Affirmative action programs have not fared well in the U.S. Supreme Court over the last decade. But supporters of affirmative action in college admission contend that education is different. Ted Shaw is associate counsel for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
This is not employment. It's not contracting. This is education. This is the gateway to opportunity.
Kurt Levy counters that the Constitution bars the allocation of benefits based on race.
There are many so-called benign reasons that one might want to use racial preferences, including to help people get through the gateway. But the obstacle to using racial preferences was deliberately set very high, and none of those arguments get you over that obstacle.
Also yesterday, the Supreme Court agreed to revisit its 1986 decision upholding state laws that make private consensual homosexual conduct a crime. 12 states have anti-sodomy laws on the books, and 4 of those make it a crime for consenting adult homosexuals to have sex while not barring the same conduct for heterosexuals. One of those 4 is Texas, where 2 men were arrested in their home for violating the state anti-sodomy law. They were held in jail overnight and fined. They appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, asking the court to overrule its decision of 16 years ago. The language of that decision was dismissive and condemning of the idea of gay rights, but 10 years later, the court did invalidate an anti-gay rights initiative approved by the voters of Colorado. Ever since, the two decisions have lived in tension. UCLA law professor Bill Rubenstein says that the Texas case offers the court the chance to resolve that tension.
More generally, though, the case is very significant for 2 areas of constitutional law. One, for the area of liberty, because it revisits the question of how far the government can come into people's private lives. And for equality, because it revisits the question of where the government can make distinctions between different types of people constitutionally.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.